Welcome to earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. We're going to talk today about apostate church members and doctors of the law. In many of our churches in America today, we've got folks that just will not endure sound doctrine. In fact, if a pastor is preaching, or preacher gets, his preaching gets a little bit too strong for him, they'll start rebelling against that pastor or that preacher, and more or less just tell him that they do not want to hear anything that he's got to say. And that attitude is described very accurately in Isaiah chapter 30. Let's turn to Isaiah 30, and we're going to read verses 8 through 30 to start us out today. Verse number 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to their seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. Now, that really is a description of what we see in most of our churches today. And if we go and look in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, Paul gives his charge to Timothy as a pastor of the church at Ephesus. He also calls the names of false teachers Hymenaeus and Alexander, and publicly rebukes them for having said evil things concerning the faith. In chapter 2, Paul gives his charge to the men and women of the church at Ephesus. In chapter 3, Paul gives the qualifications for the bishops, pastors, and deacons. This is a great need, there is a great need for thorough and complete teaching on the qualifications for pastors and deacons in our churches. Everybody can tell you that a pastor and deacon should be the husband of one wife, but what about the rest of the qualifications? For instance, to be blameless. The whole idea is that a pastor and deacons must be above reproach in every aspect of their lives. I could take the rest of the qualifications listed in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy and throw out 95% of the pastors and preachers in the pulpit of Baptist churches, even if they all had never been divorced. But the problem is one of application. They use that passage of Scripture to permanently disqualify a divorced man from preaching and from pastoring and any number of other things within the church, depending on how they choose to apply it. And believe me, the way it's applied in many cases is not scriptural. They will allow a man that is running around on his wife, a man who's got a bad reputation in the community, won't pay his bills and stuff, to continue in the pulpit. But if a man gets a divorce, even if it isn't his fault, they'll throw him out of the pulpit. But you take a look at all the rest of the qualifications in that thing, and they are, it's really quite a list. And by the way, if you look at that list of those qualifications, it's given both in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and also in Titus chapter 1, you will see that every one of those are in the present tense. They are about the present conduct of any man who would be a pastor of a New Testament church. If in chapter 3, verse 16 of that chapter contains one of the strongest statements in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. It says that he is God manifest in the flesh. And folks, that's why he is called Lord. In chapter 4, Timothy is warned about the coming battle with seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're going to go and read several of these passages of Scripture. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Now we're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. The charge to pastors continues on in 2 Timothy. In chapter 1, we are admonished not to be ashamed of the gospel. Chapter 1 is also the source for that great hymn, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Chapter 2 contains the charge to pastors to commit sound doctrine to faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. Chapter 2 also contains the charge to pastors to study the Word of God. We are not just to study it, but we are to be a workman in the Word of God. I would not give you a plug nickel for a man who routinely will not study before he goes in to the pulpit. A man that will not study the Word of God brings shame to his ministry. If all you are getting from the Word of God is what you're getting from the pulpit, then you are also a shameful embarrassment to God. If you are what you ought to be, then you'll do what you ought to do. Let's go and look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 14 through 19. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. Now let's go and read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's start in verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now let's go and read out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, we've read several extended passages of Scripture here, and the teachers that Paul speaks of here are the doctors of the law, the doctors of the scribes, and the doctors of the scholars, who continually crucify the word of God between two thieves, the dollar and the scholar. There is a conspiracy of the devil's prophets in the land. We have churches that are full of doctors that have graduated from America's best Bible colleges, still unsaved and chock full of heresies and apostasy. There is a difference between a Bible college and a Bible institute. A Bible college teaches you about the Bible. A Bible institute teaches you the Bible. I would run from a man that has received the title of doctor from an American Bible college. The Lord Jesus Christ had nothing good to say about doctors of doctrine. Do not ever call me doctor. If you are a preacher and insist on being called a doctor, do not ever expect me to call you a doctor unless I am mad at you. Do not ever call me reverend either. That title belongs only to God, since holy and reverend is his name. Men who constantly seek after titles are in trouble with God. Most of them are doing it for the praise of men. They want to be well spoken of by all men. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the men of letters during his day. These were the unsaved scribes and Pharisees. He said this in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. 17 times the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of scribes and Pharisees and had nothing good to say about them. They went about seeking the titles and praise of men. Listen to the warnings, folks, of both Job and Jeremiah. In Job chapter 32, verses 21 and 22, it says this, "Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto men, for I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away." Then we have Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in those things I delight, saith the Lord." Folks, we're living in an age when folks just will not endure sound doctrine. We've got men in our pulpits that are not teaching and preaching the Word of God like they've been commanded to. And because of that, most of the churches in America have fallen away. And folks, I'll say this about our pastors and preachers. They're not the only ones within the body of the church that are under the obligation to know and understand the Word of God, to study it. Because the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." The congregation is just as responsible before God to know the doctrines of the Word of God. And by the way, not just to know them, but they need to stand up for them. When a pastor or preacher refuses to teach the Word of God or gets involved in teaching false doctrine, then that congregation should stand up and say, "We cannot have this." And folks, if you look around us today in America, in our churches, we are in sad shape. It is an abomination what we have done to God and what we've done to His Word, and also our abominable lifestyles that we live. We have many folks that claim to be Christians that are living at least as bad as those that are not saved or around us that are not churched, and we're living just as bad as they are. And then we expect people to want that which we have. Can I say this? People are going to believe a whole lot more about the way you walk rather than the way you talk. Your testimony of how you live your life will testify of the presence of the Holy Ghost within you if you are a saved individual. The big problem we have in most of our churches today is we have many members. In fact, I would say the majority of our members are unsaved. That's why they continue to live like the world, and in many cases worse than what the world does. And if we remember, the Apostle Paul rebuked the church at Corinth because of the wickedness that was going on in that church, and he told them to get rid of the people that were causing the problems in those churches. But the problem is we don't have enough intestinal fortitude, if you will, the courage to stand up for the Word of God and say, we're not going to have this anymore. And we need to get that both out of our congregations and also out of the men that we have standing behind our pulpits and behind our lecterns. And I want to tell you that you need to dwell upon the passages of Scripture that we've read out of 1st and 2nd Timothy today, because they tell not just a pastor how they're supposed to run a church, but it tells the church itself how a church should be run. And I would encourage you to stand, folks. Stand for that which is right. No, do not compromise the Word of God. And and I'm not just talking about in word only. I'm talking about your deeds. Your deeds need to line up with what the Word of God teaches about your separation, about your holiness, about your consecration, those are all things that God considers to be very important. Folks on the outside, they look at your walk, and your walk is a whole lot more stronger than what your words are, what your talk is. So I would encourage you to keep that in mind. Thank you for joining us today.